Today's daf is Nedarim daf Chav Dalet. We left off in daf Chav Gimel and Beis, two lines before the end of the page. The Gemara is going to raise the question whether we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one that said that if a person wants to get his friend to eat at his house and he takes a neder, that's a nidrei zruzin. So we want to know, do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov about nidrei zruzin? That nidrei zruzin are totally mutter, that they don't count for anything. So Amud Aleph is going to be rayos that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because we really have two questions. Do the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? And if they disagree, then which way do we paskin? So we're going to have four rayos that the Chum disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but we're going to reject all of those rayos. And then at the end of the sugya, right before the Mishnah, Chav Dalet and Beis, the Gemara is going to try to come to some maskana la halacha about the issue of Nidrei Zruzin. And then the next Mishnah moves on to Nidrei Havayi. If a person takes a neder, Belashon Guzma, he just uses some exaggerated expression, that also does not really count as a neder. That too is just an exaggeration and is not meant to be a serious neder. The Gemara is going to comment that there may be a difference between Nidrei Havayi versus Shavuos Havayi, and we're going to have three possible definitions of what Shavuos Havayi even means. The Mishnah defines what Nidrei Havayi are. The Gemara is going to have three possibilities of what Shavuos Havayi are. So let's begin again, two lines from the bottom of the page on Chav Gimel and Beis. Ibayiluhu Pligi Rabbanan Aleid Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Olo. First of all, did the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? As the Ran points out on the bottom over here, Deikol Esfuke Ba'achim Mishum Dedilma Ad Kan Lokam Rabbanan Denidrei Zuznavi El B'Mocher V'Lokeach. The Rabbanan certainly agreed to the general principle of Nidrei Zuzin, but maybe that's only when there's a transaction going on, when there's a buyer, there's a seller, She'im P'em V'Libam Shavim, where they clearly mean something different than what they say. Daf Mitchilo Yirosim B'Shlosh Dinarim, where even Me'ikara, when they named whatever price they named, they really meant 3 dinarin. But maybe when a person takes a neder as a way of encouraging someone else to accept his invitation, maybe then he's really serious. Maybe then whatever he says, he really actually means. So that's number one. Do the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or do they agree with him? Meaning, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov applies Nidrei Zruzin not only to a mocher lokeach situation, but even to an invitation situation. We want to know whether the Rabbanan consider that Nidrei Zruzin in the first place. Vimtim Salomar Pligi, and if you're going to say that they disagree and they do not consider that to be Nidrei Zruzin, Hilchasa Kavase Olo. We then need to know, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or do we paskin like the Rabbanan? Tosos and all the Rishonim point out over here, Tosos and the Ran and the Rush and others as well, that there is a Gemara in Erev and Dasam Bezam and Bez where the Gemara says the Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavinaki. So that means that we always paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't speak that frequently in Shas. It's Kav, it's a measured amount of speech that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov gives in all of Shas. Vinaki, but whatever he gives is pristine, it's pure, it's perfect. Everything he says, the halacha is like him. So the question the old Rishonim ask is, what do you mean? We're asking a question, if the Chum disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, do we paskin like them, like him or not? Of course we paskin like him. Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov ka vinaki. So four basic approaches in the Rishonim. Tosla suggests that nevertheless sometimes we don't paskin like him. Meaning, generally speaking, Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov ka vinaki. Because over here, but whenever the svara goes in the other direction, and it could be that over here it's mistaver taimim shel rabbanan, that over here the rabbanan are the more logical approach, that nidrei zruzin would only make sense in a negotiating situation between a buyer and a seller. So that's what we want to know. Maybe this is one of those rare instances where the svara is actually like the rabbanan. Second possibility, the Ran suggests that the reason the Gemara raises this as a suffix is, since if the Rabbanan are cholek, maybe the halach is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because yachad rab malach karabim. Meaning, we have competing principles over here. On the one hand, we have the principle of Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kavinaki, but maybe that's only when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov argues on an individual. But maybe when he argues on a rabim, so you have another principle of yachad rab malach karabim, and therefore maybe we should paskin like the rabim. The Rush in the fourth parak of Erevin writes in the name of the Rach that when we say Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kavinaki, what's the lashon of kav? It's a very strange way to say that he doesn't speak that often, to call it Kav. So he says, Kav is a gematria. It's Kuf Beis, that there are 102 places where the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's why sometimes we don't pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or we ask why we don't pass, that maybe we shouldn't, because what we're really asking is this one of the 102? Kav v'naki means it's naki, it's perfect in those 102 places where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said something. So that's the third approach. The Tosyantif in Maseches Klaim, in the second part of Klaim, says that the klal that the halach is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is only when it's nisparish taimo. It's only when his logic is explained. But if his logic is not explained, then the rule doesn't apply, and that's why the Gemara raises the issue over here. So again, that's going to be our issue for most of today's shir. Whether we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that even in a situation where a person is taking a neder on an invitation, whether that's also considered Nidrei Zruzin, or Nidrei Zruzin is only a situation where it's a buyer and seller type of situation. So Tashma, Raya number one, whether the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Ditnan, we have a Mishnah that says as follows. Ha'omer l'chavero, a guy says to his friend, Konim she'eni nanalach im i'atanota lebincha kor shel chitin v'shtei chavios shel yayin. A person says to his friend, whatever I get hana'a from you will be usher to me like a karban. Whatever I would benefit from you would be usher to me like a karban. If you don't give if you don't give to your son from my stuff, a kor shel chitin v'shtei chavios shel yayin. So even if the guy is mekayim the tanai and he doesn't give the kor shel chitin v'shtei chavios shel yayin, hareze yachal lahatris nidrash. You don't even need to be matir with a chacham, because yachalom she yachalomer lo, he can always say to him kluma marta ela b'shvil kvodi. Why? What was the reason you took the neder? You wanted to honor me by showing everybody that you're giving me something, and by therefore you're showing that you consider me to be very chashuv. But guess what? Zehu kvodi, by me not accepting your gift, I'm going to be more honored by everybody else. If they see that you offer me a substantial gift and I'm able I have the ability to turn down such a substantial gift, that's an even greater kavod. So don't worry, your neder has been fulfilled by me not accepting the gift. So that's the intention of your neder has been fulfilled by me not accepting the gift. That is my greatest honor. The Ran writes that he says kedeshe eschabed al yadcha b'fnei abrios, that everyone will see that I'm chashuv by you wanting to give the matana. Zeu kvodi, I'll be more honored by not accepting it be'enei abrios. The Rosh says that I'll be more honored because I'm a son of matanos, meaning it's not that it's any rotzel that I don't want to accept it. It's just that there's a high level of an individual sonimatanos yichya. So the pasuk says so that's why it's a greater honor, just even not in Abrios, that he's a greater person if he gets to be a sonimatanos. But either way, the raya is as follows: taima da amar zehu kvodi halav achi nederhu. The reason that the neder is not chal in this case is because he's able to say it's my greatest honor not to be makabel the neder. But if that wouldn't be true, meaning if he would not have said Zeu Kvodi, then it would have been a good neder, because then Tanai was Mekuyam that he didn't get the matana for the child. So says the Gemara, money, who's this going like? If it's going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that when a person takes a neder by inviting a friend over, that's called a Nidrei Zruzin, Nidrei Zruzin Avi, then this is also a Nidrei Zruzin, and the neder shouldn't be chal in either case. Ela Shmamina Pligi Rabbanan Aleis. So we see, Raya number one, this that the Rabbanan must disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So says Gemara, no, it's not a Raya at all. Li'olam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He really, we're assuming like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Umodir Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Bahai to Nidra Havi, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would be modir in this case that it is a valid neder, Damarlei, lo kalba anadibis hanina minach, velomis hanis minai. Because the guy can say that I'm not like a dog that you put food in front of a dog and he doesn't give you anything. That I'm going to get hana from you and you're not going to get any hana from me. So when he took a neder that his friend's nechasim should be asked to him, he means to say that if his friend doesn't get any hana from him and take a matana for his son, he's going to make sure that he's not going to get any hanav from his friend either. Because you're going to try to give me and you're not going to take anything from me, it makes me feel like a dog. No one wants to be someone who's always on the receiving end. If you're always on the receiving end, we feel subhuman if we're always on the receiving end. So that's why, specifically in this case, the Rabbanan would say that he really means it as a neder. So Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring another raya. Raya number two. Ha'omer l'chaveru konim sha'ata nenesli, what you get hana from me will be usher to you like a karban, meaning I'm taking a neder that you're not allowed to get hana from me, im i'ata nosin libni, kor shal chitim t'ei chaviyah shal yayin, unless you give me something. I don't want you to get anything from me unless you give me something, unless you give my child a certain amount of chitim and a certain amount of wine. Rav Meir says, ad sheyitein, that the person is not going to be allowed to get hana until he actually gives the child that those items. The chum say he could be matter the neder even shalal pi chacham without asking a chacham first. Sheyachalomar, because the madir could say to the other fellow, even though you didn't give my son the matana, harenu ki ilu is kabalti, in my eyes I'll consider it as if I received the matana, and therefore the neder is not going to be chal, because the tanai was never fulfilled. The tanai of the neder is you didn't give my child, but I'll view it as if you did my child, as if you gave my child. Ki ilu is kabalti, and therefore the neder is not going to be chal. So time adamarenu ki ilu is kabalti. Sounds like the only reason the neder is not going to be chal is because he said ki ilu is kabalti. But halav hachi, if he didn't say ki ilu is kabalti, nederhu, then it's going to be an actual neder. So money, who's the one that says that it would be a neder? That it would be a serious neder. Irab Lezer ben Yaakov nidrei zuznavi. If it's Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, he's clearly just trying to encourage him to do something, so shouldn't that be a nidrei zuzin, where it should not be a binding neder at all? Elalav Rabbanan. No, it must be that it's going like the Rabbanan, upligian. You see that the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. So there's our second raya, that the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, and they think that it's not called nidrei zuzin outside of the context of a buyer and a seller. That when you're trying to encourage someone to eat a meal or to give something, that's not called nidrei zruzin. Says the Gemara, not a good raya. Lo, li'olam Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. Really, it's going like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. Umoda Rav Lezer bahai dinidrahavi. And Rav Lezer would be moda in this case, in the case of where he asers his nechasim on somebody else, if that somebody else doesn't give a matana to his child, that then the neder is definitely going to be chal. He's not just trying to be mezaris, his friend, to give a matana to the child, mishum da amar lei, because the noder can say to the mudar, lav malka ana, what do you think I am? I'm not a king. I can't afford to just be giving without ever getting anything back to mahaninalach, where I'm going to be mahana you from my nechasim. I'm going to give you va'at lo mahanis li, and you don't give me anything in return, and therefore, if you don't give my child something, I'm going to make sure that you don't get any hana from any of my nechasim. That's when it's a serious neder. In that situation, even Rav Lezer ben Yaakov would agree that it's a serious neder. It's an interesting dynamic that emerges from this sugya, is that someone who always gets and never gives is considered like a dog. Someone who always gives and never gets is considered like a king. So first of all, most of us probably would not have thought of a king in that way, that a king is a giver, that a king's whole existence is to give and not to get. That's what they say pshat when Paro has his dreams and Yosef comes to interpret the dreams. So Yosef says, oh, it's about food, years of famine, years of this, and Rashi on the Chumash says that all the other interpreters got it all wrong. They all said, well, you're going to have this many daughters, and this is going to happen in your life, and they all got it all wrong. Why is it that no one else was able to figure out that a dream that related to cows and bushels of wheat might have had something to do with food? Why was only Yosef was able to figure that out? So I don't remember who said, but so the Bali Musar, I think, point out that no, people must have guessed it had something to do with food. The point that Rashi was making is every other interpretation that suggested was that they were suggesting something personal about Paro. And Paro knew that if a melech has a dream, it can't be about his own life. If a melech has some impactful dream, it can't be personal, it can't be about him. It has to be about the bigger picture, because a melech is a nosein. A melech has to worry about the people. He goes to sleep at night without worrying, not worrying about himself, worrying about everybody else. The melech is the quintessential nosein. That's the what emerges from this Gemara. So the Sefer Aruch Meisharim says that's why Chazal were masakein that there's a birchas balabayis that the oreach says that in benching a bracha for the balabayis. Why? Because otherwise the oreach is only taking. He has to give something back. So what he gives back is he gives a bracha to the balabayis. We don't want the oreach to be like a dog. That's what they say. The Shemesh Shmuel points out on the Zohar writes that someone who davens only on his own mezonos is keklav matzakim hav hav. It's like a dog who says give give. If all you're doing is asking give me, why like a dog? Because a dog is someone who receives and never gives anything back. So the Achronim point out then how do we daven Hashanah as achreinu l'chayim? So the Shemesh Shmuel says in the name of his father, in the name of the Avnei Nezer, that you see from our sugya that if you're only asking for yourself, then it's then you're like a kelev. But that's why we say lemancha elukim chayim, that it's not for us. We're not asking for life for ourselves. If it's only for ourselves, then we're like a bunch of dogs. But it's lemancha. It's for the sake of the Ribbono Shlom, so that we can serve Hashem, so that there could be some level of reciprocity. The Marsham points out that no, Adrabah, what's the whole avodah of Rosh Hashanah is that we refer to Hashem constantly as Melech. Why are we referring to Hashem constantly as Melech? We're trying to acknowledge you're the Melech, you're the giver. We can't give you anything, Ribbono Shlom, but that's your role. You're a Melech. You give and give and give, even though you don't receive anything in return. So that's what emerges from this Gemara is the taker is a dog. One who only takes and never gives is a dog, and one who only gives and never takes is considered like a Melech. The Rashi here says it's that this idea of that a guy could say ki ilus kabalti. It's only about a if a guy says to his friend, "Konim shatanani meni im ena tanosin li kor shel chitin." So even if he would receive this matana, he could always give it back to him. So that's why you could say ki ilus kabalti. Because what does that mean? Ki ilus kabalti. It's as if you gave it to me. He didn't give it to me. What do you mean it's as if he gave it to me? No, you could say it's as if you give it to me, because even if he did give it to you, you'd be allowed to give it back to him. So it would be this. So what? You have to go through the motions of him giving it to you and you giving it back to him? Why bother? Just say, ki'ilu iskabalti, and that way it would be a fulfillment of the Tanai. But a bitl maisa, like someone who's madu chavero, that he shouldn't go to makom ploni, or that he shouldn't do davar ploni, he can't be matir av shalal pichacham by saying, ki'ilu iskabalti, because of the same svara doesn't apply it's as if it was done and given back. No, if you're looking about a bitl maisa to go to a certain place or to do a certain thing, so it's ki'ilu you didn't go or ki'ilu you didn't do that thing. He did go. He did it. You can't undo it. You can't undo something that he's already done. So then we would never say such a svara of ki'ilus kabalti. That's the chiddush of the Rashba. However, the Ran over here says that there are those who are cholik and say that even when it comes to a bitl maisa, he can say it. You can say kilus kabalti because that which he said at the beginning, lo yelich lo osam makom, that was what he really meant. Is I want you to do what I want you to do. So if now I no longer want it, so now it's kilus kabalti. It's as if I got what I was looking for because it was all just to be memali ritzoni. It was just to do what I had requested. The Rama writes when it comes to mishloach manos on Purim, it's in Tafresh Sadi Hesiv Dalin, that if a person sends mishloach manos to somebody and the other guy doesn't want to accepted or he's mochel, yotzi yidei chavaso. So Pri Chodesh says, where does the Rama get this din that if the guy doesn't accept your mishloach manos, yotzi yichiv? Karban Sanal brings a raya to the Rama from our Gemara that the Rashba says that by kiyu maisa you could say kiyu iskabalti, because even if you would have been mekabalit, you could give it right back. So you could say the same thing over here by mishloach manos, that you could say kiyu iskabalti. What we have to, if you give me mishloach manos, I'm certainly allowed to give it back to you, and you have still fulfilled your mitzvah mishloach manos, so why go through the motions? Ki'ilu iskabalti. It's as if I got it, and then you're still in fulfillment of mishloach manos. As long as you tried, you don't even have to actually have physically given it to me. But the Chasam Sofer and his Shuvas and Simon Kuf Tzadivav and Aruch Chaim points out in this Karmen Nisanel, then the Yerushalmi It says that we're talking about where the noder doesn't say explicitly, but if the kavanas of noder was the kavod atzmo, so you can't say kilus kabalti. So then he says the Pri Chadosh was actually correct in asking where does this din come from? Because how do we know that the takan of mishloach manos was litzorech misha nishlach lo, that it was litzorech the person who it sent to? Maybe it's litzorech the mishaleach. How do we know what the purpose of mishloach manos is? And if it's litzorech the mishaleach, then there's no svar of kiilu his kabalti according to the Yerushalmi. So that's where the Chassam Sofer introduces the very famous machlokas about the purpose of mishloach manos, where the Chassam Sofer suggests that he found two reasons for mishloach manos. There's the Trumas Hadashen, that it's in order to provide a su'uda for each and every person. So if that's the case, then mechila should not be a fulfillment of mishloach manos because you haven't actually provided anything that the guy can use for a su'uda. And then there's the Shita of the Manos HaLevi, where the Manos HaLevi suggests it's to be marbe, shalom v'reyus, in which case kilu iskabalti is a fulfillment, or being mochel is a fulfillment, because you have shown your love, you have shown your friendship by offering in the first place, and that's all you really need to do in order to fulfill mishloach manos according to the Manos HaLevi, just to show that sense of friendship. But that's where the Chassam Sofer's discussion gets off the ground. It's based on that Ramah from this Gemara, that maybe the Raya is from this Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta now. Third possible Raya. Amalei Mar Kashisha Bered Rav Chista the Rav Ashi Tashema. Again, we're still trying to prove whether the Rabbanon or Cholik or Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So he says, I'll bring you a Raya from the following case. We're going to say later on Daf Chav Zayin. Nidrei Onasin. A person invites his friend to go eat by him, and in order to strengthen the invitation, Hidiro Chaveru Sheyochal Etzlo. He takes a neder. So we're assuming that this means that the host is being madir the guest from his nechassim, on his if he doesn't want to come and eat by him, and the guest cannot come to the suuda because v'chalahu or chala beno or shikva nahar, something happened that made it impossible for the guest to arrive at the suuda. So that would be an example of nidrei onsin. So since the neder was never taken with any thought in mind that there would be such an ones, therefore the neder is not binding at all. But halav hachi, if some sort of onus did not happen, nederu, apparently it would be considered a binding neder. Well, money, who would say that it's a binding neder in a case where the onus does not happen? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov zruzanavi. If it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds any neder about inviting a guest is just a nidrei zruzin. Elav rabbanan upligi. It must be that it's the rabbanan, and the rabbanan hold that this is not a nidrei zruzin. You see, the rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Says Gemara, nah, liolam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Maybe it's really going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Do you think what's happening over here is that the Mishnah is talking about that the Mazmin is being Madir the Muzman, meaning the host is being Madir the guest in order to encourage him to come, and therefore you want to consider it a Nidrei Zruzin? Lo, that's not what's going on. The Zamina Adre lemazmina. It's the mazmin taking a neder based on the request of the guest. It's the host taking the neder based on the request of the guest. How so? To Amar Lay, the guest says to the host, Mizamnet li l'sudatich, I want you to invite me to your su'uda. Amar Lay, ain. He says, okay, I invite you to my su'uda. Then the guest says to the host, Neder ze alecha, are you prepared to strengthen your invitation by taking a neder that if I don't eat by you, all of your nechasim should be asar on me or my nechasim on you? V'nadar. And the host takes the neder that ein achinami. He's willing to strengthen his invitation with such a neder. This is one interpretation in Rishonim in terms of what's going on in this Gemara. Who's taking a neder? Who? We're just reading it one way. So he takes the neder. V'chalahu o shechala b'no o sheikva nahar. But then the guest was not able to come because something happened. Harei elu nidrei onsin. That's a case of nidrei onsin. But if it didn't happen. But had an onus not happened, the neder would have been chal, because in that situation there's no need to be mizareis the person to come. He wanted to come. He asked to be able to come. He's the one that asked for the neder in the first place, and so the neder was working in the other direction. So that's why it's not a raya whether we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not. So says the Gemara, whether the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not. So now the Gemara suggests Tashima, a fourth possible raya whether Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Yes, Al Kain, in addition to the previous case where you want your friend to eat by you and you take a neder, that would be Nidre Zuzin. Amr Blazer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said an even greater chiddush. The trick is figuring out why this case is a greater chiddush than regular inviting your friend and having and taking a neder to have him come eat by you. But apparently we're assuming this is a greater chiddush, what we're about to say. That Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov even says, Ha'omr l'chaveru konim shani nenelach. Whatever I get hanoah from you should be usher to me like a korban, meaning I'm not allowed to get any hanoah from you. Im i'ata misareach etzli v'tochel imi paschama v'tishti imi koschamin. If you don't come to my house and eat with me warm bread and drink with me some warm drink. V'Allah hikbit kenegdo. And the guest got upset. He doesn't want to come to this person's house. Af elu nidrei zruzin. That also is considered nidrei zruzin, and that the chachamim are automatically matir. But v'lo hodu lo chacham, the chacham disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. They don't consider that to be nidrei zruzin, because since in his neder he asked on himself the nechasim of the guest, he means that the neder should actually be chal. Because why is he saying that he wants the guest's stuff to be asked to him? Because he doesn't want to be like a dog, that he's going to be mahana the other guy, and the other guy's not going to that he's only going to get hanah from the other guy, and the other guy's not going to get any hanah from him. So the chacham say that's not called the nidrei zruzin. So Milo Hodula Chachamim. What do we mean when we say that the Chacham do not agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in that case? Lav dafilu bekamaisa. Aren't we saying that even in the regular case of that a person wants his friend to eat by him and he encourages him through the form of a neder? Isn't that also where the Chacham would also disagree? So Shema Mina, you see, pligi Rabbanan alei. So you see, the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Shema Mina. We take a see from there that the Rabbanan actually disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's our gears in the Gemara, at least, that the Chum are actually Cholik and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even when a regular case of you invite someone over and you're madir him. That he doesn't mean to be mezaris him, he really means it as a real neder, according to the Chumim. The Rashba just raised the obvious question, that we just said Yisrael came, that whatever this case is, in some way it's more than the regular case. The regular case where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said Nidrei Zuzin is one thing, and this is something where it's even a greater chiddush to call it a nidrei zruzin. And that's where we find that the chachamim don't call it a nidrei zruzin. But how do you know that just because the chachamim don't call it a nidrei zruzin in this case, that in the regular standard case, they wouldn't call it a nidrei zruzin? So that's the kasha that the Rashba raises, that in the Yisrael Cain case it shouldn't be able to prove what the story would be in the regular case. So the Rashba says that you have to change the girsa over here, and we have to go with the Ran's girsa, where the Gemara then responds not Shema Mina, but the Gemara's response should be Lo. Bibasraisa. You think the Chachamim argue afilu bekamaisa, even in the regular case? No, they only argue in this case, in the Yeser Al-Kain case. They don't argue in the standard regular case. So the Gemara rejects this raya. That's how the Rashba says you have to change the girsa. So then the Gemara says, my haviala. So what do we say at the end? Well, what does that mean? What do we say at the end? Well, if you have the gear so that we already came to the conclusion that the Chum are Cholik and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this whole sugya started with two questions. Are the Chum Cholik and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? If they are Cholik and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, how do we paskin? So if you understand that we already came to the conclusion that the Chum are Cholik and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so my Havila means, okay, now I know there's a Machlokes. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or do we paskin like the Chachamim? That's how Tosfos and the Tosfos Rid suggest. According to the Girsa that we just mentioned, that the Rashba quotes from the Ran, that it's lo bibas raisa, that we assume that the Chum are not Cholik on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or we don't know, we don't have a Raya necessarily whether the Chum are Cholik on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So then when the Gemara says, May Havi Allah, the Gemara is asking both of the questions that we started with. What do we paskin in terms of, are the Chum even Cholik, and if they are cholek, who do we paskin like? So it all depends on how you read the previous line of Gemara, what the words may havi Allah mean over here. But may havi Allah, Toshima, the Gemara says, we'll bring a raya from the following. Damra huna hara halacha karabilaz bin Yaakov, vechena maravad barava halacha karabilaz bin Yaakov. You see that Rav Huna and Ravad Barava both say that the halacha is like Rav Blazer ben Yaakov. So the Rishonim raise the question, so what's the raya that the Chamar Cholik Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, even in the previous case, just because you're saying halacha Rav Blazer ben Yaakov? Maybe Rav Huna passes halacha Rav Blazer ben Yaakov only in the second case, and then obviously the halacha is like Rav Blazer ben Yaakov in the first case as well. So the Ran says that they knew, no, when Rav Huna said halacha Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, it meant the first case, it meant the standard case. They had a Masora that that's what he meant. So you see, the fact that Rav Huna had to say halacha Rav Blazer ben Yaakov is an indication that there must have been a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Blazer ben Yaakov over here. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been necessary for Rav Huna to even say it. That's one approach of the Ran. The Ran also suggests that when the Gemara raised the suffix whether the Chamar Cholik Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, the suffix was how do we pass on the halacha? Because if the Chamar Cholik Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, then there's room to say that the halacha might be like the Cham, because Yachid Rav Malach Karabim. So even though the Maskana, we don't know if Chamar Cholik in that case or not, it doesn't matter. Meaning, once Rav Huna says that we pass on like Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, even in where the Cham do argue, so it's irrelevant whether the Cham argue in the first case or not. Because we know that whether they argue or not, we're going to pass on like Rav Blazer ben Yaakov. The whole reason the Lord raised the question, do the Cham Cholik and Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, is to know in case we're going to pass on like the Chachamim. But once you're going to tell me that even if they are Cholik Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, when we're passing the Rav Blazer ben Yaakov anyway, I no longer care whether the Cham are Cholik or Rav Blazer ben Yaakov. That's what the Ran suggests. Then the Ran suggests a third approach, that since Rav Huna said Bistam Alach Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, it sounds like he's talking about the case of the Mishnah. Why would he say Stam Alach Rav Blazer ben Yaakov on some Brisa somewhere where it's Yisrael Kain? More logical to assume that if he just says Alach Rav Blazer ben Yaakov, it means the Rav Blazer ben Yaakov Hayadu Alanu, the one that we know from the Mishnah. That's how the Ran understands what the Raya is from Shitas Rav Huna. Okay, says the new Mishnah now. Moving on to the next type of neder that is automatically hutar, that you don't even need a she'elas chacham. Nidre havai, exaggerated nedarim. Nedarim that are said in Lashonos of exaggeration. Amar, for example, konam im lo ri'isi bederech hazeh ke'ole mitzrayim. I take a neder if I didn't see on this road the number of people like the Ole Mitzrayim, like people who came out of Mitzrayim, which is obviously an exaggeration. He didn't see Ka'ole Mitzrayim. There's no way that a person saw the 600,000 people on that road. Or Im Lo Ri'isi Nachash Kikoros Beis Habad. If I didn't see a snake that was Kikoros Beis Habad, that was as wide as the beam of an olive press. That's obviously an exaggeration. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to be taken seriously. There is a machlokas rishonim what the nature of the isser of sheker is, the isser to lie. What if a person tells what's a harmless lie? It doesn't affect anybody. It doesn't hurt anybody. He's at Starbucks and he gives a name that's not his name. It's not going to affect anybody. But it's a lie. It's something that's not true. Is that still usher to do? And this is the way they say in Lamdus what this machlokas rishonim is how do we understand the isser of sheker? Is it an avera ben adam lachavero, or is it an avera ben adam laatzmo? If it's an avera ben adam lachavero, a lie is only a problem if you're saying it. If you're saying it to somebody else in a way that's going to affect somebody else. But if it's an aver ben adam la'atzmo, just the fact that you're saying a sheker affects a person. It affects ourselves to say a sheker. Rabbeinu Yonan Shari Tshuva writes that even a sheker that has no use, that doesn't do anything, is still going to be aser, because you're going to teach yourself limdu l'shonim davar sheker. You're going to teach yourself to lie if you're always saying lies. So they bring rayas to from Gemara in Yuma that Rabbi Tzaddik said something that wasn't true in order to be ma'oras ha'am b'b'chia shaladim kasha. They bring a raya to the other way that the yisur of sheker is only if it's going to affect someone negatively. The Mesilas Sharm says that it's also b'divrei avai, even if it's absolutely useless, that would still be considered an isra of sheker. So the question is exactly this lashon avay. We say the chamar amidaber b'lashon avay. So what it means when we say that the chamar speak b'lashon avay, the Gemara says that the chamar speak in exaggerations, it means something that clearly you know isn't true. So if I say something as an exaggeration that's clearly meant as an exaggeration, it's not meant to be understood as truth, then vada is not considered sheker, right? If a person says something that's just a known expression, then it's not considered sheker. So that's why we have a havai over here, where we know clearly he didn't see ka'ole Mitzrayim. He didn't see like the people, the amount of people that left Mitzrayim. The Ritva quotes from Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, "What do you mean? It could be that he did. It could be that there were that many people that were in this spot that was ka'ole Mitzrayim." So he said, "No, that it's impossible that at one time in one ri'iyah you're going to see that many people. The eye can't take in that many people." And then the Ritva says, "Lo risi nachsh karsa beis habad." The Gemara asks that it could be you saw a snake that big. So he says, "No, there are certain details about the snake that there's no such species that you ever could have seen something like that." So we know that he's speaking b'lashon guzma. He's speaking in exaggerated terms. Tana nidre avayim mutarin shvus havayi asurin. So we the Brisa teaches us that whereas nidre avayi are mutarin, that they're not considered a neder at all, shvus havayi are actually asur. Shvus havayi has to be taken seriously. Say echidami shvus havayi. What does it mean shvus havayi? Three possibilities. Ilema da amar shvua imlo riisi bederech hazeh. If the guy said that I'm taking a shvua if I didn't see over here ka'ole Mitzrayim. Meidam kamar, he didn't say anything. He said absolutely nothing. Yeah, because imlo reisi is a lashon of a tanai. So he's not asering anything through his tanai. So where's the shvua? A shvua if I didn't see. Shvua of what? You need to take a shvua to actually do something. So that doesn't make any sense because he just didn't say anything. So Amar Abaye, second possibility. Da Amar shvua shereisi. He says, I'm taking a shvua that I saw this. This, it's not a tanai. This is the actual shvua. A shvua that I saw, ka'ole Mitzrayim. Amalei Ravim Kein Lamali LeMeimar Va'o Dumya Deneder Katani. Well then, why does the Brisa need to tell me that Shvuos Havayi are Aser? I mean, of course it's Aser. And also, shouldn't the Shvuos Havayi be similar to a case of a Neder Havayi? Then by Nidra Havayi Mutarim Shvuos Havayi Asurim. But the fact that we're contrasting the two, so over here it's not at all similar, because by the Nidra Havayi he's Asering something on himself Bekonam. He's making something Aser to himself, and if he didn't see, call him Mitzrayim. Shvuos Havai, he's not answering anything on himself. He's just taking a shvua about what he saw. And obviously, it's a shvua shav. It's obviously a worthless shvua. So it's obviously going to be aser. So that can't be the case. Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava says, no, here's what's happening. Ba'omer ye asru peros ha'olam alai b'shvua. I am taking a commitment that the peros of the world will be usher to me with a shvua im lo re'isi b'derech hazeh ka'olei Mitzrayim. If I didn't see on this road the number of people like the Olei Mitzrayim, that must be the case of Shvuas Havayi. Amalei Ravina Larvashi v'dilma hai gavra kino dishum shemani chaza v'asuklun shema Olei Mitzrayim, v'shapir mishtava. Very interesting take. The Gemara says, no, maybe where the guy saw little tiny ants, and he called them Olei Mitzrayim, and he wanted his shvua that those peros should be ushered him if he didn't see the number of ants that are called Olei Mitzrayim. He referred to those ants. That was his expression, his cute way of referring to those ants as Olei Mitzrayim, v'shapir mishtava. So he actually said a good lashon of a shvua then. So why do we say that it's Shvuos Havayi? So it says Gemara, Amalei ki mishtava adaita didan mishtava v'anola maskina nafashin ashum shemani. We don't refer to little ants as Olei Mitzrayim. We wouldn't refer to them as people. And when a person takes the shvua, it should be in a language that we all speak. So you can't make up your own language and say that's what I meant. No, it's got to be in the language that we all understand and that we all speak. And so Be'ez Hashem, we're going to pick up with that sugya tomorrow, whether a person can make up his own language and have his shvua or neder bound by his language.